Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, the word of the Lord today is a church in motion. A church in motion. Did you know that we are called to be a church in motion? We're called to be going somewhere. We're not called to be sitting on the sidelines. It's time to get in the game. All right, I'm going to try this over here. We're called to be a church in motion. It's time to get in the game. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Now this side, if you guys, it's 11 o'clock. You've had a little bit of time. The 9:30, now they were a little louder. So I'm counting on this side and waking you guys up a little bit. But we are called to be a church in motion. We're called to be going somewhere. And that's what I love about mobile church, is that we can, within a week, man, we're in a different location. And it's not just because we wanted to be somewhere else. Like, we are being positioned at a specific time for a specific purpose. And I believe that God has his hands all over this. We're not just decided one day, well, we should just change venues. Like, no, there's plan and purpose. And there's God vision for this move and for this position. So I want to talk a little bit about vision today to help us understand where we're going. Because without vision, it's easy to, like, hurt yourself or get lost or bump into something, right? We need vision. We need sight to know where we're going. So I began thinking about this time I was with my dad. He lives in Colorado Springs, and they have a national park there called the Garden of the Gods. And it's these enormous rock formations that look, they're just amazing. You can get on Google and check it out. So we went out there one time when I was visiting him just to climb up there. We were going to climb up to one of these rocks. And, you don't just, like, start at the bottom and, like, then you're at the top, right? I'm not Superman. I can't, like, fly up there. Like, you have to take a journey. You have to climb. You have to take steps to get all the way up there. And then you get to the top, right? But it's not just in one step, not like one big step. Like, it's a bunch of little steps to get all the way up to the top. And I began thinking about how that's how our Christian life is. But I think sometimes we mix it up and we try to think like when we ask Jesus in our heart, like, then we got it all together. And now I'm at the destination. But that's not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is daily taking steps. What is the next step that God wants me to take? And I've got to take this one before I can take the next one. Right? I can't go there until I stepped here. And now I can go here. Like, it's, I've got to take steps to get there. Right? I was a long jumper in college and stuff, but like, I don't think I could just like jump that far. Like, you know, one step, like, it starts to get a little, like, I'm getting a little, you know, wobbly trying to get that far. But I'm just called to take my next step. And that's the Christian life, is that God wants us to take steps to the destination. And then one day when we get to our ultimate destination, which is being in heaven with him, then we'll be there. But until then, like, every day we're taking steps. God, what's the next step you have for me today? I'm going to take that step. Just one step at a time. That's the walk of the Christian life. And that's why vision is so important. That's why having sight is so important. And for some of us like me, like that wear contacts, like it's even better. Or glasses or whatever it takes, because those things, just things that just help us bring our sight into better focus, make things clear. So that as I'm taking those steps that I don't veer off and fall off and hurt myself. Got to be able to see. I got to know where I'm going. And so I want to talk vision with you today a little bit, if that's all right. And I want to give you our vision here for what we have here at Victory, because I believe God wants us to have vision here as a corporate body, but he also wants us to have vision individually. God has a vision for your life, and he wants you to grab a hold of that so you know which way he wants you to go. So we've got to understand that. And here we can see what it says in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 29. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they'll stumble all over themselves. Man, so many people are there stumbling all over themselves. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to be that person that's stumbling all over yourself because you don't know what God is doing or what he's saying. Like, we need to know what God is saying. Because when we attend to what he reveals, we are most blessed. Man, that's the zone we want to be in right there. We want to be in that blessed zone, right? Right? Anybody else want to be in the blessed zone? That's where I want to be. Like, when we attend to what God reveals, like, then we're blessed. And, you know, you need to get a picture of what blessing is. Like, blessing is not just having all the things that you think you want. It's not having all the nice things that your neighbor has, like, having the things that we need on this earth is part of God's blessing, but that's just an incomplete picture. Like, God's blessing encompasses so much more. It'd be like if you were had a pizza delivered to your house and all there was in there was one slice. That'd be a problem in my house. I'd be like, you better take that pizza out of here. Like, no, that's a problem. But so many times that's how we view what God said he would do for us. I'm just going to take this one little piece and that's okay with me. No, no, no. God wants us to have blessing, and his blessing is the whole thing. It's joy. It's peace. It's restoration in relationships. It's walking in power. It's knowing that I don't have to be defeated when I face difficult situations. It's having the things I need. That's God's blessing. It's a whole picture of the pie. So you need to get that vision in your life of what God's blessing is. But see, that's what vision does for us. Is it helps us to see what God is doing. So here at Victory, our vision is to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and connect them to their purpose. That's our vision. We do this by doing four very specific things. You've heard me talk about these things before, but I want you to know they're purposeful things. They're not just accidental things. We accomplish that vision by helping people to know God, by helping people find freedom, to discover their divine purpose, and then to make a difference in the life of somebody else. That's how we accomplish the vision. And I believe that's what God is speaking to each of us today individually. It's great that we have a vision here corporately, but God wants you to have vision for your life as well. And it's important that we have that so that we can see where we're going, so that we are the most blessed. And I tell you this about our vision here at Victory because I want you to know where we're going as a church. And I say we're going as in you and I, like we're going together, right? It's not just me. It's not just me and Pastor Justin. It's not just the church. It's all of us going together. That's what I mean by we. We're going a place together. And so when you hear about things that we're doing as a church, I don't want you to be surprised. I don't want you to wonder why we're doing it. Like with our At the Movie series, which I'm so pumped about. Like, people wonder, like, yeah, come on, it's all right. You can be excited about At the Movies. People wonder, like, why are we watching movies in church? This is church. We don't need to have movies in here. Like, I'm just telling you, like, we're doing At the Movies, and it's not for you. At the Movies is not entertainment for us. It's a tool that we can use to reach somebody who might not come to church any other way. Some people won't come to church just because, like, they've had bad experience or whatever at church, but maybe they'll come see a movie at church. And we're not just going to put the movie on and just sit back and watch a movie for an hour. Like, that's not it. Like, we're going to do like Jesus did. And the Bible says Jesus was never without a story when he taught people. So we're going to take these modern day stories of movies and we're going to teach biblical truths from them. And I guarantee you it's going to impact your life. And I promise you that if you will take that step of faith and take these cards that are on your chair, like, I'm praying for you this week that God would bring somebody across your path, somebody that's far from God, that you can invite to church. And let me just make it easier for you. Like, if you're at Publix and God puts somebody on your heart, like, you don't have to lead them to Jesus there in the freezer case. It's okay. Like, just, you've got these. Like, just put this in their hand. Be like, hey, man, I just want to invite you to my church. We're having this movie thing, free popcorn, whatever it takes. And just invite somebody to church this week and see what God does in their life. Some of you, I know you already are doing that, and that's great. We want to do that more. But we want to reach people as a church. So that's why we have our Hope Truck. We go out the first Saturday of every month. You can see the truck out there in the parking lot. We take that thing out. Some of you bring the grocery bags. We take grocery bags there. We give people food. We do amazing things, helping people. And then we give them the gospel. We give them the good news. So when you hear about us adding another Saturday that we're going to do another place for the Hope Truck, you can know that it's because we're going to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. When we add another service time because it's getting full in this room, you can know that it's because we're going to reach more people with the life-giving message of Jesus. When we get a building and we need to have that, then we're going to reach more people with the life-giving message of Jesus and connect them to their purpose through that building. All those things that we're going to do as a church, like, that's the reason. So you can know, like, things are happening. And when you see things happening, now you know why. Like, you don't have to be surprised, like, oh, what are they doing? Like, hey, man, we're going to reach people for Jesus, right? That's what we're going to do. So today I want to kind of talk about this a little bit because I believe that God has positioned us in this time. He's brought us here and positioned us at this exact moment in time. He's brought you here for a purpose. He's given us this moment in time. for a reason. God has called us to reach people. People are God's priority. And we see this all through Scripture. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, the good news to the poor, to people, to bind up the brokenhearted people, to preach deliverance to the captives." In the New Testament, we see John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved people that he gave his only son." He wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about Jesus. He was thinking about us when he sent Jesus. Man, Jesus even said his last words on earth, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone." See, people are God's priority. And as long as people matter to God, they matter to us. That's why we do those things. So I want you to get this vision inside of you today. I want you to have this inside of you so that you know when you leave here, like, what is the purpose for my life? Like, God's purpose is for us to fill up his house. Jesus told a story about a guy who threw a party and he wanted to have all of his influential friends, the important people, come to his party. And he invited these people and all these people came up with excuses, reasons they couldn't come. "I just got a car. I just got married." All these different things that they said, "Well, I can't come be a part of that." And so the owner of this house, the guy having the party, he gathered all of his servants together and he said this. He said in Luke chapter 14, it says, "Go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full." So my house will be full. See, Jesus wants his house to be full. He wants people in his family. It's not so that we can have, like, say our church is big and growing. Like, that's not the point. The point is that we need to bring more people into the house of God, into God's family, because the reality is heaven and hell are real. And every day people are dying and going to one of those two places. Man, I want to be those that populate heaven and plunder hell. Yeah, it's awesome. Last week, my wife, Heather, she's sitting down here in the front, and Bella and I, we went to a midweek late night movie. It was awesome. We had a great time. We were sitting there. What I love about a midweek late night movies is that, like, there's almost nobody else there. It's awesome. So we, like, had the row to ourselves. We're spread out. I've got my feet up on the chair in front of me. You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. There was just a handful of folks in there, and it was a great time. And that's fine for movies and entertainment. It's not fine for church. It's not fine for church. Like, God wants his family to be full. And, like, so that's what we do here at Victory. We reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. And that's what God's vision for your life is. When you were saved, he didn't teleport you to heaven. Wouldn't that be funny? Like, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart." Last time I checked, that's not how it worked. He left us here and he gave us a mandate. And he gave a mandate to his church. He called us to be his church. "If you're my follower, I want you to be my church. And I want you to bring more people into my family." That's what we're called to do. And I believe in this moment of time that we're in, God is positioning us strategically. He's called us here. It's not by accident, but God has positioned us here. And I want to look at this verse from Ephesians chapter 5, because you have a role in this. It's not just the church. It's not just me. You have a role in this. And God has positioned and strategically placed you in this moment of time, in this place of history. And I believe it's a time that generations before us have longed to see and even prayed for, that God is moving across the earth and he's moving in our city. He's moving in our communities. He's moving in your family. And it's not by accident that the move of God that is coming through is purposeful. And people have prayed for it. Let's look here in the scripture. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." This word opportunity here is important. So I did some reading on it, on the Greek words for this, and it came back to two Greek words for opportunity or time, essentially. One of those Greek words is the word chronos, which is like a specified exact time. The other word that they used at that, in that point of history, was kairos, which was like an unspecified time. But another definition was a supreme or favorable moment. This word opportunity here is kairos, a supreme Our favorable moment, make every opportunity of that. Make every effort to maximize the supreme or favorable moment that we're in. Sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, maybe you've experienced this where you'll be reading and all of a sudden like something will stick out to you, right? That's the Spirit of God talking to you. So when you're reading, like, and you come across that moment, like, stop right there and like pause, like Selah. That's what Psalms means, to pause for a minute. Think about that because God's speaking to you. And just kind of read it for a minute. Read it a couple times. And sometimes I like to read the scripture backwards in those moments, because it kind of gives a fresh perspective of it. So if we do that with this verse, because the days are evil, and they're more evil than we've ever seen before. Don't have to watch the news, but for 5 or 10 seconds, and you realize the days are evil that we're living in. Because those days are evil, make the most of every favorable opportunity, every favorable supreme moment that you have, being wise in that, not unwise. So you're careful how you live so you can make a difference. See, even though the days are evil, like, the favor of God is more favorable than we've ever seen before. His power is moving on this earth, and he's looking for those who are willing to answer his call, to answer the call of a hurting generation, of a world that's just messed up. And this is what he's called the church to do, to help those people. So how do we as a church make the most of this kairos? How do we make the most of this favorable moment that we're in as a church? So today I want to give you these four things that we're talking about. And I want you to write them down. If you've got your worship guide on the back, there's a place for you to take notes. You can write this down. Number one, the first thing we do is to know God. It's to know God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul outlines this process that we're about to walk through, these steps that we can take. He says, I ask God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. He's like saying, I want you to know God. Like, you have to know God. He's not saying, I need you to come to church more every, you know, like, he's like, I'm not trying to ask you to be more religious. I'm not trying to ask you. I want you to know God personally. I want you to know God personally and keep your eyes focused and clear. I want you to have freedom. I don't want you to be bogged down or distracted by the things going on around you, so that you can see exactly what it is that he's calling you to do. So you know your purpose, so you can see what God created you for, so you can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for you, because God has a plan for your life. He wants you to make a difference in the lives of people. So number one, we maximize this kairos, this opportune moment, by knowing God. That's the most important part of the process. Like, you can't take steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 without step one of knowing God. Yeah. And all that step is of knowing God is just receiving the free gift of salvation of Jesus Christ. That's all knowing God is. That's that first step. You don't have to come and have it all together. Like, when I received Christ, I was a mess. My life was just a wreck. And I didn't have to, like, have it all together. I didn't have to be good and know how to pray and know all these things and know all the theological things. Like, that's not any part of that. Knowing God is just like this personal decision that I make. Like, God, I need you. Like, that's knowing God. And without that, like, none of the rest of it is important. That's the first step we have to take. And here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That'll make you wake up in the morning right there. Like, wait a minute. But only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He goes on and he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name, didn't I drive out demons, perform miracles? That sounds like a cool Christian right there, right? He's doing a lot of great things. Then I will tell them plainly, I didn't know you. Depart from me. Man, many, many will say this. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. Like, we have to know God intimately, personally. It's not about religion or, like, trying to say the right things or do the right things. It's just about knowing him and following him. Do you know that Jesus never asked us to believe? He never said, I need you to be a believer. He didn't ask for that. He asked for followers. Followers are people who listen and do what the person says. That's a follower. Jesus is looking for followers. He said here in Mark chapter 8, he said he was calling to the crowd for people to join his disciples. And he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is looking for followers because truth be told, the devil believes in God. But last I checked, he won't be with us in heaven. He's going to be in that other place, right? That's called hell. That's where the devil will be. He's a believer too. But God doesn't need us to be believers. He wants us to follow him and do what he says. He wants us to know him personally. So how do we maximize this moment? We know God. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. We find freedom. We need freedom because we all experience like things in our life. We've been hurt by other people. We've had relationships maybe fall apart. We've had disappointments and failures. We've had stress. We've had sometimes oppression comes or unforgiveness and bitterness. All kinds of crazy things happen in this life. And those things are meant to like bind us up and hold us down and to push us back and keep us from doing what God has called us to do. But God doesn't want us to be stuck in all that. God wants us to step out of that. And that's that process of just taking a step. Like, it's not like you ask Jesus into your heart and then the next day, like, he frees you from everything. Guys, it's a journey. It's a walk. It's, God, what is the next step you have for me today to find freedom? Because our lives have to be changed, right? Because we do things without Jesus. We're just going through life doing all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden we ask Jesus into our heart and we're like, now what? Like, and all we know is this life that we've been living. Our life has to be changed. And we believe that real life change happens in the context of relationships. The kind of change that's lasting. Real life change happens in relationships because there's accountability in relationships. Yeah. It's real easy for me to come into church and be like, praise the Lord, everything's good, hallelujah, I've got no problems, everything's happening great, and to walk right out. And you can do that, but you're going to be in a hot mess real soon. Like, we need each other. We need relationship because when I come into a place and I'll be like, man, I'm facing this and this is a really difficult situation for me. Will you pray for me today? And I've got that relationship with people in my life. Then it's a lot harder for me just to skate by with what I've been doing. See, we need freedom in our lives, but it happens in the context of relationships. That's why we have connect groups here at Victory, not because we just want to have something else to go to, but because there's relationship. You need to be on that path with people who are going down that journey with you. It's not enough to be with people who are still living far from God. Like, that's not going to help you find freedom. You need to be going the direction with people who have the similar vision as you, who are going the same direction as you. And maybe that means making some changes in your friendships and associations and getting in a connect group. But that's why we have those, because we need each other to find freedom. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, they can help each other up. Yeah. It's good because you're going to fall down in this life. You're going to have problems. I heard it said you either are in the middle of a problem, you just came out of a problem, or you're about to go into a problem. I know what some of you are thinking right now, like, man, I thought my pastor was supposed to encourage me. It's supposed to be positive. Like, I'm positive you're going to have problems. But we're going to get through them. That's right. We're going to get through them. And I just want to say this. Maybe there's those of you who have felt down before. Somebody's tried to label you a certain way or tried to push you out. Like, you're welcome here at Victory. Like, it doesn't matter your background. That's right. Because truth is, we're all the same. The church is meant to be a place where we can find healing and where we can get closer to God. And we're all the same. It's just some of us have been here a little longer and we're just going to all come around each other and help each other. So if you've been out before, you've been called this or whatever, like, don't worry about that. You can be at home here. You're welcome here. Just wanted to say that. And it continues in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, but I pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Man, that's why we want you in a group. Like, get involved, get in a group. Have a group of people around you that are building you up in your faith. Like, get involved somewhere. Be in a group of people. It's important to be connected. So how do we maximize our kairos? How do we make the most of this favorable moment that we're in as a church? And how do you do that in your life? Number one, to know God. Number two, to find freedom. And if you're taking notes, number three, write this down. Number three, to discover your divine purpose. to discover who God made you to be. Two of the greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you discover why you were born. Yeah. So many people I hear saying, well, my parents told me, like, they weren't planning on me. Like, I was a surprise. I was a, you know, like, that's your parents' story, but that's not God's story. That's right. Let me share with you God's story here in Psalms 139. It says, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So he's like, I'm going to put some musical gifts inside of Pastor Justin, and I'm going to give him this personality, and I'm going to give him cool haircuts, and I'm going to give him this. And see, God is knitting him together. Even before Justin's parents ever thought about him, like, God was knitting him together. I'm going to give him this destiny, and I'm going to give him this and this calling, and I'm going to put these spiritual gifts inside of there. God knits you together on purpose in your mother's womb before you were even born. He says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it full well. See, David wrote this psalm, and he knew that why God made him. And I wonder how many of us know it full well, the plan that God has for us, that we're made on purpose. See, God made you on purpose. It's not by accident. He continues here in verse 16. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. It's so amazing to think about this. Like, think about this for a minute. Like, there's a book in heaven with your name on it. Yes, Lord. There's a book in heaven with my friend Lawrence right here. He's sitting right here. There's a book in heaven that God has that's called Lawrence, the book. Yes. And I just imagine this picture, like, every day, like, God gets up in the morning, like, morning here, because Lawrence lives here. So in the morning here, like, God gets up and takes the book out, and he starts reading this book that he wrote about Lawrence. And he's like, oh, I remember this part. Oh, this part. I can't wait till Lawrence discovers this part, right? God has a book about you. Before you were ever born, God had a book about you. You were made on purpose, but you've got to discover what this purpose is. You've got to get on this journey, this path to discovering, God, why did you make me? What is it, these gifts that you put inside of me? And that's why we have the next steps thing here at the church. Like, we have that, and we've been doing it, and we're kind of changing it up a little bit, and next week we'll tell you about it. In August, we're going to try to make it better and more convenient and all that stuff. But the important part is that it's discovering who God made you to be. Like, you need to know the purpose that God has for you, God's plan for your life. Like, and so that's what we do as a church, right? We reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and then connect them to their purpose. Right? We want to connect you to your purpose, because if you don't have a purpose and all you're doing is just taking everything in for yourself, like, you're just taking it all in, right? And then you just start to get, like, too much. And before long, all that stuff that you took in just becomes to die. Like, because we aren't meant to, like, keep everything in. You have a purpose. God made you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. He put gifts inside of you. He put talents inside of you. That's why I love the Dream Team so much. Because they're people who have decided, like, I'm going to find out what God made me for. And then they do extraordinary things to make dreams happen. People that come in here and sweat and set up the chairs. People that are outside helping you park your cars. People that are teaching your kids the word. People that sit in the back and make sure the volumes are right. People in the band who practice throughout the week to make sure that the songs are good and that we can all sing together. People who put those worship guides together and put a pin on there so that when you come to church that you can have a great time. Man, I love the Dream Team, because they're people who just said, God, use in me what you can. Yeah. And they're just willing to do something. They've caught a vision for their life that it's greater than themselves. And truth be told, once you discover this purpose that God has for you, like, this next part is the best part. Yes. It's the best part. And you can't do this next part unless you truly discover who God made you to be. And honestly, this last step brings you the most joy. Ben, you can, guys can start coming back up here. This next step, it brings you the most joy. It brings you the most fulfillment. And if you don't believe me, you can ask somebody who's doing it. And because some of you are thinking right now, no, it doesn't. But I'm telling you, it does. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. Number four is, we're called to make a difference in the life of someone else. Yeah. To make a difference. See, making a difference is doing something that when you did it, it affected somebody's eternity. affected somebody's eternity. And if making a difference was a verb, it would be serve. And I know some of you instantly jump like, oh, he just wants me to serve in the church. I do want you to serve in the church, but not for me. For you. Like, I'm not looking for people just to do things in the church. Like, it's not even about a job that you do. Like, it's about what God does in you when you serve. Because the happiest people in the earth are those who do something to impact the life of somebody else. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It brings the most fulfillment. It brings the most joy. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says this. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What he's saying here is that God has given each of us different gifts, different abilities. We all do different things. Like, I don't sing like Pastor Justin. I'm not the technical like those guys back there. And all the different areas, we do different things. Some people are out there greeting you, smiling like my friend Sean. Like, I wish I could be as friendly as Sean. But that's a gift God has given him. And man, he stewards that gift well. He stewards those gifts well. And that's why he's saying we all do different things, but it takes all of us coming together to maximize this opportune moment that God has positioned us in. See, we're a church. We serve with compassion because the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. Believe that. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, we do all this for my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, what that means, what he's saying by bearing fruit is just that you're getting results. That's what that is, bearing fruit. He's saying, all these things that we do, we set up chairs, we have church, we greet people, we help people to know God, we help people to find freedom, we help people discover their purpose and then make a difference. All this happens for God's glory, not for us. It all happens for God's glory so that we would have results. He wants us to have results. He wants us to bear fruit in our lives because that's how we show people that we're his disciples. He goes on and he says this in John, in verse 11, he says, I've told you this, that my joy would be in you. Like, when it happens, when we start doing this process, like, God loves it. So much so that he said, I'm going to put my joy in you when you do this. But it gets even better than that. He says, my joy will be in you, and then your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. Like, there's nowhere else in Scripture where God says, I'll give you joy that's complete, except for this moment when he says, I want you to bear fruit. And when you do it, I love it so much that I'm going to make my joy in you complete. See, there's something that happens and the world doesn't understand it. But once you start doing this and you start serving somebody else that's here at the church, man, you can serve somebody when you're grocery shopping. I know. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to serve in the church and that's the end of it. No, man. Like, we can serve wherever we go. It's just this mentality of how can I make a difference in the life of somebody else? That's what God is calling us to do. And so I want to take just a minute here and I just want to pray because I believe the Spirit of God is here with us right now. He's given us his vision and he's helping us. He's speaking to us so that we understand what his Spirit is revealing. So we know what he's doing so that we don't stumble all over ourselves. So that we can be blessed, so that we can walk out the plan and the purpose that he has for us individually, the plan and purpose he has for your life, and so that we can walk out together as a church, the plan that he has for us together. So, with every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Chris, that's me, man. I hear what you're saying. I want to start walking in the plan that God has for me. I want to maximize this Kairos moment that God is giving us. I'm going to start walking out in this plan that God has for me. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you are. You're saying, yes, I'm going to start walking out the plan that God has for my life. I see hands over here, all right, all over, hands raised.